Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 20th of July, recording at 9:15 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asia, generally quiet, a bit mixed, but the China sector did well. The European stock markets were mostly a little bit lower today. They seesawed a little bit, and IBEX was an exception that closed up 1.32%. That's the Spanish market, of course. Now, in the Americas, it was an interesting day. We closed with some good gains here. Wall Street had sold off initially, but then rallied and closed near the highs of the day. And I can give you the swing on the S&P future. Got down to 1050, up to 1080.50, and it closed, or it's trading right now after hours at 1080.5. So that's good action on Wall Street today. The other Americas are quite steady. Brazil up 1.84%. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds pegged back gains, just the bond prices showing tiny gains here today. Gold bounced here and is up just under $9, takes bullion up to 1192.5. We also saw steadier action in the other precious metals, although gains look modest here overall. Industrial metals were mostly firmer. The industrial commodities generally were all firmer in here today. Crude oil up to 77.44. Natural gas firmer. Lumber firmer. For a change, we had a little bit of softening in the grains, and I see sugar is a little bit easier as well. Well, at least white sugar is. Now, no, I'm sorry. That's the U.S. sugar contract that's a little bit easier. The refined sugar in the U.K. is a bit firmer. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, it depends what you regard as leading overall. Asia's stock markets remain generally firm, from India through the ASEAN markets, as I've been mentioning daily in these audios. The Chinese stock market had been a big underperformer, largely due to the IPOs, record level of IPOs. Looks very oversold. Valuations, I think, are quite compelling. One can't rule out further IPOs weighing on the recovery party, delaying it. But this is an accumulation zone, as far as I'm concerned. The biggest, before I go on, floor money themes generally are quite firm. Now, the biggest concern would be that Wall Street gets another hit to the downside on double dip deflation fears. I don't think we'll get the double dip recession, incidentally. I think people are too bearish. I think that's a contrary indicator. But I've got to go by the charts, and they're pretty indifferent. They've had a bearish bias, but today we had a good outside day here, week earlier in the day, closing strong, a big outside day. That's the key characteristic. Really, the market's range-bound. You might remember me saying last week in at least one of these broadcasts that if Wall Street was able to hold half the gains following its rally from the early July low. If it could retain half its gains during a setback, which it's done so far, drifted down towards that 1050 level and then bounced strongly. But if it can do that, that would augur well. Now, one day doesn't make a vast improvement necessarily. The next thing the S&P would need to do is to extend the rally and close above the 1100 level. That would be another improvement because it would take out last week's rally high. Now, there is, of course, when you have a ranging pattern, sentiment, a little shift in sentiment can count for quite a bit. And so there is a risk that we get some additional pullback between now and, say, late October. But I think it's fairly evenly balanced. Where I differ from the consensus on Wall Street is the consensus is really quite bearish, and a lot of people looking for a test of the March low, either this year or sometime in 2011. That's down at 666, remember, for the S&P. My worst case scenario is that if we break under the psychological 1000 level, that we would see a pullback to test support for from the upper region of the base formation, which starts really at about 950. I think that would cushion downside risk. My best case scenario is that we range sideways to somewhat higher from current levels and then get quite a decent performance in the fourth quarter of this year and probably the first quarter of next year. So again, there's quite a bit of distance between my thinking on this and the U.S. market consensus. I'm influenced, of course, by the strength of those fuller money themes. I think they're leading. And if China, and Owen's written a very good piece on China here today, if China confirms a downside failure and is able to rally without having too many big IPOs, blocking its upside, that would really be quite positive. Now, what else to mention? Long-dated government bonds. Well, that's been a concern. Yields have certainly fallen further than I had expected. They look somewhat overextended to me. I can't actually say that I see any technical evidence that the decline in long-dated government bond yields is over, but they do look overextended, and I would be on the alert for some change there before too long. They take their cue from the stock market here overall. But I think there have been a lot of factors that have been helping to keep that market steady. You've had some buying from countries with trade surpluses, such as China and Japan, although they go mostly into the shorter dated instruments. There's the yield curve play, refinancing, where the commercial banks borrow from the discount window at extra cheap rates, almost free money, and then leverage it up in the long-dated government bond market, knowing, wink wink, from the government that they're going to keep short-term interest rates low. You got the low interest rates generally. That's a positive. You got a positive yield curve. So a lot of factors in here, I think, to offset some of that general bearish sentiment overall. Got some decent earnings coming out. Valuations aren't that bad. Okay. What about other areas? Currencies, I think we're mostly going to get ranging. The dollar has given up a lot of its haven buying. That weaker dollar is better for Wall Street because it had been sufficiently strong to be compromising the consolidated earnings of the U.S.'s major exporters. So that pressure has been alleviated quite a bit recently by the dollar's pullback. Commodities. Most of the commodities show quite indifferent patterns, a bit like Western stock markets, really. And there is a correlation there. My feeling is that they will strengthen with stock markets, and oil, having been one of the laggards previously, may be more to the fore following all this problem in the Gulf of Mexico and the moratorium on drilling in that area. Offshore drilling is certainly continuing elsewhere. And I mean, this is the catch-22 here. Obviously, the U.S. doesn't want horrendous environmental pollution. Who does? It's incredibly destructive and depressing. But, you know, if you ban all the drilling and if you ban all the mining of things like rare earths, then you're going to be vulnerable. And the U.S. needs the energy. And its supplies are jeopardized. That ban on that moratorium on the offshore drilling has gone a long way towards, and very quickly towards, offsetting some of the very positive benefits from the supply of shale gas that has been coming through. And of course, that has environmental there are environmental concerns rather related to that. These are difficult trade-offs. But the point I'm trying to make is that the U.S. Is running out of its domestic energy sources here. It hasn't built a coal-powered power station for, 30 years? It's way behind in the nuclear development process. I mean, the only advantage that it has, and it's an important one, is the shale gas. Whereas, apologize for always comparing the U.S. economic policy unfavorably with what you see in China, but you know, China seems to have a big interest in all forms of energy, wants to be a global leader in all forms of energy, knows very well that it needs energy, and without it, it can't fulfill its growth ambitions. And so it's developing everything, you know, the wind, solar, renewables, nuclear, way ahead of the United States in developing the nuclear, coal-fired power stations, building or picking up rather oil reserves around the globe, and I think you get the picture. Okay, what else to mention? Gold. Well, I think you know, there's enough support to cushion the downside, and this is a lull. Here, a seasonal lull, but I certainly don't think the secular bull market is over. And on that note, all the best to all of you.